kids class. Glad you guys are being blessed back there. Well, good morning, y'all. It's good again to be with you. I want to make an assumption as we get going this morning that deep down in every single one of us, I believe that we long for something. We long for community, to be deeply connected with others. The way we say it here at Mountain View, to actually do life with others, even though that can be very difficult to do at times. Again, in our highly connected world, that we have a lot of friends online, you know, that are mere acquaintances, in a world that really is an epidemic of loneliness that's going on, I think and I believe that each one of us long to be known, to truly be understood, to be accepted by others, at the same time being able to know others at a deep level as well. Like, this is one of our deepest desires and needs. And the reason I can say this with such great confidence is because of just who we are as image bearers of God, made in the image of God. As we sang about this morning, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, eternally existing in fellowship and communion together. I heard somebody say about the Godhead this week that actually community is not what the Godhead does, it's what the Godhead is. And so therefore, us as being made in the image of God, we actually get the chance to put him on display when we are fleshing out and living out, being in community together. We're image bearers of him. Now, we also need to know that as we read our Bibles and we read through the New Testament, we read through the Old Testament, that the context of almost every passage is written to the people of God. Very few times is about you doing something. It's oftentimes about you all doing something. It's this idea of being community together. It's this idea that I think 59 times the New Testament has all those different one another's of scripture, you know, like love one another, forgive one another, admonish one another, all these different one another's of scripture. That is the context of the reality of God's word. The reality that our relationship with God was designed to be intensely personal, but never alone. Never alone. God has made us for community. So as much as we long for true community, as much as we long to be able to live out the design that God has for us, it's often something that we lack in our lives. It's often something that we don't experience, at least to the way that we long for, or the way that we've been designed for. And I think there's different reasons for this. The first reason I would just say is, I would attribute part of this to spiritual warfare, that we do have a foe, we do have an enemy from the very beginning of time, back in the garden, Genesis chapter 3, when sin entered the world, that sin impacted what? Relationship. Most importantly, our relationship with God and creating a chasm between the holiness of God and us. But also, what did you see right after Adam and Eve fell into sin? What did they start doing to one another? Right? Blaming each other. You see a brokenness that happens in relationship from that. It's been from the very beginning. Satan's scheme throughout all of history is to isolate us. When we are isolated, we are that much more vulnerable. He knows that's where, if in isolation, we do not grow. So I think there's spiritual warfare that actually keeps us from experiencing what God has for us. I would also say that just the world that we live in, the context of what we live in a very busy world, that we can get busy doing a lot of things, even some good things, but not always the best things. And if we get caught up doing a lot of things that keep us from the best things, and that's right, also keeping us from being and living out community, right? Community takes time. It takes vulnerability. It takes sometimes saying no to good things to be able to enjoy the best things. And I also say the thing that keeps some of us from community is real pain, hurt, brokenness in relationships from our past. That sometimes, that just a response of the human heart then is to keep people at arm's length, to be able to put on masks, to be able to kind of put up walls around us. And yet with all these things fighting against us, church family, because of what God's designed for us, it is so worth it for us to take a risk, to take the initiative, to be purposeful and live out community with God's people as one of the primary gifts of his grace that he has given to us as his children. And so as we head into this new year, I mean, Shane's already kind of stole the thunder. Wasn't that rude of him? We're going to be talking about our final pathway of God's grace, looking at community. Now, those of you who've been with us since last January, we know you started last January with this heart to say, God, we desire for you to transform us over the course of this year. And to do that, Lord, help us to be able to step into those different areas that you have for us to be able to experience nearness with you. And I hope that you've enjoyed these Pathways series as much as I have benefited from teaching them. You know, again, as someone who's almost been in pastoral ministry for, 24 years now, a lot of these things aren't new to me. But I got to say, they've been so good for my soul to really think about. And like, what does it look like to really continue to flesh these out in my life? And I hope it's done the same thing for you. Again, every 6 or 8 weeks, we've looked at a new one of these pathways. And when we understand these pathways, these gifts that God has given us, we understand they're not duties, they're not boxes to check as Christians, but instead they're invitations. Invitations for us to step into the lavish river of God's grace is taking us somewhere. It's taking us to experience Him, to be transformed by Him. These are gifts from Him. And so we've talked about things like knowing Him through how He's revealed Himself through the Word, and talking about relational prayer, and talking about, you know, things like fasting and solitude and Sabbath, and even things like stewarding our lives and proclaiming Him to others, done in the right heart, are pathways for us to experience Him in greater and greater ways. They're gifts given to us. So today we're going to look at the idea of community as yet another pathway for you and I to experience His grace. And I would argue that this is one of the most important pathways, and yet I recognize I've said that about a lot of them. Just as I'm in it, it's like, oh, this is so critical, this is so important. And my heart feels the same way this week as we look about community. You know, this last Christmas break, extra time, we were visiting my wife's family up in Pagosa Springs, and I actually decided to take on and tackle. I have 16,000 pictures on my computer, a hard drive, from the last 25 years. I was like, I got to clean these things up. And so I did spend some time cleaning up these pictures, and I was reminded of so many different things, and my heart was just warmed at different times, seeing different people that God has put into our life for the last 25 years, just putting a smile on my face and remembering how they've impacted us in significant ways. To be honest, though, I was also reminded of some hurt and some different pain that's come from relationship over the last 25 years, and the times of feeling like, oh, this is too painful, I just want to be done, I'm out. And yet being so grateful that God's allowed us to continue to persevere in relationships because it's so worth it. I was also reminded of people that actually played a pretty significant role in our life, but now I look at their lives and they're far away. Not necessarily just far away in relationship, but people that have kind of really drifted from the Lord. And when I kind of started meditating and kind of thinking about the differences, I can say without a doubt that one of the most common denominators for those that are still doing well and those who are, you know, not doing well is their commitment to biblical community over the years and through the different seasons of life. That makes all the difference in the world. Community is one of the most important pathways. It's one of the greatest gifts that He's given to us. Now, I'd say this, I would give a definition like I've tried for many of these, is I would say this if I'm trying to define community. I would say intentionally pointing one another to Jesus as we commit to doing life together. Now, I think there's a few things that stand out there. One is intentional. It doesn't just happen unless we're intentional and being purposeful. Being in community is actually more than just hanging out with people who also happen to be Christians. It actually takes intentionality to spur each other on, to help provoke each other towards Jesus. And this happens not with just doing a few church programs together, about people who are choosing to do life together, all of life being committed through all of life's mountaintops and life's valleys. So what I want to do this morning is I want to look at a key passage in the New Testament that both encourages us towards living in community and also gives us a pretty strong warning. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, if you don't have a Bible, I'd encourage you to pull the pew Bible in front of you, page 946. As you're turning there, just to give you some context, it's always important, the writer of Hebrews is writing to a group of people who are going through it. They are actually facing incredible persecution, and they're not just facing persecution by being made fun of on social media or having some people shun them. They were actually risking their lives. They were losing property. They were being imprisoned. Some of them actually literally losing their lives for believing in Jesus and who He was and all that He said. And they were tempted to do the exact same thing that you and I would be tempted to do in that kind of situation. Let's reevaluate what we really believe. Is it worth it? Do I really believe this, right? There's something like putting a knife to your neck that actually has a way of digging pretty deep into what we believe. Now, while some of them were tempted to walk away and to say, it's not worth it, others were tempted to lose grip on the truth of who Jesus was. Yeah, maybe it's time not to be so narrow anymore. Maybe it's time to make Jesus more palatable to the culture, be more open-minded, not so rigid, but maybe water down the gospel, recreating Jesus into maybe what the culture wants Him to be able to be. Does that sound familiar? So many were tempted to go back to Judaism. That was a much more socially accepted form of religion of the day. And so there's two goals of the book of Hebrews. One was to help the people of God see and savor the beauty of who Jesus is. See the supremacy of Jesus. Right? When you look at Jesus, it's impossible to want to go backwards, particularly back to Judaism. Why would you go back to the priesthood when Jesus is the great high priest? Why would we go back to a sacrificial system when Jesus has once and for all sacrificed his life for us once and for all on the cross? It doesn't make sense. He keeps appealing to this. Secondly, he's helping them to say, let's persevere to the end. And how can we persevere to the end? And that's where we pick up our passage, kind of picking up on these themes. Verse 19, I'll read it for you. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened up for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Church, this is God's holy word. Now, this passage, like many of the passages, is going to call us as a people of God to do something. But it's going to call us in the context of who we are and what Jesus has done. Almost you always get that. This is who you are. This is what God's done. And in response to that, here are some things to live out. So this verse is no different. It starts out in response to the glorious gospel. It says, therefore, in light, because of who Jesus is, response to who he is and what he has done, he reminds them of the perfect sacrifice that Jesus made for us, once and for all, paying the penalty in our place. He then says, therefore, because of this, then we can confidently enter into his presence, knowing that he's torn that veil from top to bottom, that veil that separates us from him, the veil of our sinfulness. He's done away with. He's provided for us everything that is needed so that we can, with that great high priest, the one who's interceded for us on the cross, the one who is interceding for us right now, the one who bridged the gap of God's holiness, we can have this great confidence. After reminded of who he is and what he's done, then this passage is broken up into three gospel calls. They're all signified by that idea of let us, and then it goes on, let us, and then it goes on. So the very first one is let us. Hold fast. Let me go back. Let us confidently draw near to God. It tells us that. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Because we've been washed, because we've been cleansed by Jesus through faith in him, we don't have to hide from him. We don't have to walk in shame anymore. We can confidently walk with Jesus in relationship with him. And church, that's amazing. Because of what God's done, that you and I can draw near to the throne of grace with great confidence this morning. That is such a gift. Isn't that good? We don't have to run from him. We don't have to walk in shame. We can draw near with confidence this morning. Confidently drawing near to the Lord. Secondly, it tells us, let us, the next let us, hold fast to God's promises and persevere, the context through hardship, through challenge. This is a picture of being steadfast on holding on to what we believe when the wind and the waves are crashing around us, when we're holding on to hope, when, man, hope is hard to feel. And it reminds us of why we do this is because God is faithful to his promises. Can you say amen to that this morning? God is faithful to his promises to you and I this morning. His promise to never leave us or forsake us. His promise is to work good in our lives. His promise that he is for us, that he is good in all that he does. All the promises. And even that promise that the cross is not the end of the story for Jesus, was it? Because 3 days later, he victoriously rose from the dead, and that same promise that for those who put our faith in him, that we too will rise victoriously over the grave to be able to have eternal relationship with him without sin, without the presence of sin, without the consequences of sin, with no more pain, no more tears, faithful hope, our blessed hope that's future-orientated. He says, hold fast to those promises and so many more, especially when life is hard and challenging. But then don't miss this third command, this third let us. And I believe this is one of the ways that we can continually draw near to God and that we can actually persevere through hardship is how in this third let us. It says, let us consider how to encourage, how to consider how to stir up one another, how to encourage one another. Right, the author gives more weight to this call and devoting even just more ink to explaining, as to say, like, the key of consistently drawing near, the key of being able to persevere through hardship is by his design to be able to do that with others. Right? Praise God that he has not left us alone, that we don't have to try to persevere on our own. And the author gives us some specific insights on how to do this, especially as the day, or as Christ's return draws near, as the heat is turned up, if you will. Notice that being in community and what he describes here, it actually takes intentionality, and it takes being very purposeful. It doesn't just happen, right? By being intentional and proactive, notice this word, he says consider. Consider. That means this doesn't just happen. This doesn't just kind of naturally what we're bent or inclined to. It actually says, I want you to set your heart and your mind to consider how to do this. Like, it takes thought, it takes intentionality, it takes purposefulness. Consider what? What does it say? How to stir up one another. Consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. This word stir up, and some of the translations actually say provoke. You know, almost every time that this word is used in the New Testament, it actually has kind of a negative connotation. It's like, I was provoked to anger. It's usually a negative thing. And this passage is saying, I want to provoke you to something. This idea of being stirred up. Some of the translations actually say spurred on. You know, like think of a cowboy with his boots, with a spur, getting a horse to do what they don't want it to do, what the horse doesn't want to do. It actually has some weight to it. It actually has some grit to it. Now, anybody who's been in sports knows this. This is what a good coach does. A good coach is trying to push you beyond what you can do on your own. A good personal trainer, when you go in, he helps you to do 5 more reps. This is the idea of, like, consider how to, like, provoke each other, how to stimulate one another, how to encourage one another to love and to good deeds, right? To love Jesus, to love others, and that our lives would truly reflect who he is. Again, this doesn't just happen, church family. This doesn't happen when just a few Christians get together and hang out. It takes intentionality. It takes purposefulness. I was provoked this last week when I went to the summit with all those other 18 and 25-year-olds from our network. When they were talking about using their lives for the kingdom of God, I was provoked to use my life for him. This last week when we got together as a life group, I was stirred up as seeing how other people were walking in faith in their lives, about encouraging my own heart how to walk in faith. I was more spurred by a brother this week when we had lunch together, where he's challenging me in some different areas of my life. And I was loved and I was encouraged when I went out with a coworker after work, and he asked me some real intentional questions about my background, about my past before I knew Christ, about my father. And it just felt so good to be known, someone actually caring about those things. See, it takes intentionality. It takes purposefulness. It doesn't just happen. Now, this call to be intentional and point each other to Jesus, notice there's also a pretty strong warning in this passage. It says, not neglecting to meet together as is in the habit of some, but instead encouraging one another as the day draws near. Right? To encourage each other means we can't forsake meeting together, which is the habit of son. I love this word habit because I think it really helps us and fits into this idea of pathways. You know, we've talked about these different pathways we've looked at. Historically, they've been called church. They've been called, not church discipline, they've been called spiritual disciplines. That's another kind of pathway, right? But they're called spiritual disciplines. Things that we must discipline ourselves to do to be able to be blessed by, right? It takes some discipline for these things. And the word habit, it pushes into this idea of discipline. Like, we all have habits. Habits are things that we do and establish, either good or bad. And once a habit is established, it just kind of, we begin, those things kind of happen a little easier. Like, I think about working out. Think about, I know many of us, beginning of the year, we're trying to work out again. And boy, it's like pushing a freight train, right? It's like hard to get going. But then once you get in the habit of working out, you actually long for it. I think about, like, you know, creating bad habits, you know, like after dinner having dessert, and how you just kind of get in this habit of, like, I need sweet after every time that I eat dinner. Or I think about the bad habit of hitting snooze and hitting snooze and hitting snooze. Like, we just begin to do these things. They become kind of just what we do with almost not even thinking. Again, this is a time of year, like, everybody's trying to put away bad habits and trying to start with good habits. You know, that's why you go to the gym, and it's frustrating because there's 6,000 people at the gym, which will last for, what, 2 more weeks, and then you'll kind of have the gym back to ourselves, you know? Well, warning of this passage is don't get in the habit of neglecting to be together. Now, I think what's helpful about this, church, is that means it's usually not a conscious choice. We're like, I'm done. I'm going to keep people at arm's length and make a conscious choice. Unless some of us have done that. But most of it's just kind of like a slow burn, a drift over time. I've seen this in a lot of different demographics here at Mountain View. And I think there's different seasons of life that, you know, we're tempted to drift in different ways. I see this oftentimes with families, with kids, with middle school and high school students. Because of just what our culture gives and all the different activities that we have to have our kids part of and all the different sports, I see it oftentimes people get more and more disconnected in those middle school and those high school years. In a time in life where parents probably need the most input into their lives about how to actually influence their kids at this particular and such an important age, and you think about the importance of those high school, middle school kids as they're getting ready to be launched out and the importance of them being able to understand the beauty of community, and during those period of time, they're getting less and less connected to community, and then they go off to college and their parents are left scratching their head like, I wonder why they're not prioritizing being with God's people. When you see over time, they've actually been conditioned by that because other things have gotten in the way. You see it happening all the time. I think we saw this like for sure during COVID. You know, when COVID happened, you know, and again, we're all just trying to figure out, there's definitely things we do differently as a church now, knowing what we know now, but we're all trying to figure out stuff, and you know, churches not meeting together, and a lot of people just kind of going to online church, which is not church. And then over time, you know, it's not even just looking at online church, but then it's like, well, I'm not even getting to it at all. Like, and I've met some of you, like, and you're kind of this last year entering back into church after getting disconnected from the body. Praise God for that. It's interesting, as I talk to different pastor friends, you know, it's kind of known, like, in the historically, we'd say, like, committed church members, you know, probably usually here, like, 3 or 4 times a month. After COVID, I think most of us would recognize, yeah, committed church members, you know, 2 times a month is a pretty committed church member. Actually, I read an article that showed up on Facebook this week. It said, the average committed churchgoer in America now goes to church 1.6 times a month. That 0.6 is because, like, sometimes you're here, but you're not really here. You're, like, halfway here. But this averages, right? 1.6. Right, we saw that during COVID. We saw the slow fade where we allow things getting in the way. And man, this is so tempting for us being in Colorado and there's so much to do and so many activities and skiing and recreation and we can easily fill in. And all of a sudden, it's pretty easy not to make a priority anymore. Now again, just taking Sunday, community is so much more than a Sunday gathering, though it's one of the ways we meet together and God's people have been doing since the beginning of time, redemptive history. You know, but now, and we talked about this, when we talked about the Sabbath, like the Sunday is just, it's just another day. Right, instead of a day to be with God's people and to be rested and to be spend time with friends and to stir our hearts towards the Lord, it just becomes another day to do a whole bunch of stuff and get things done that doesn't hold a significance in our hearts. Well, the warning about this passage is don't fall out of the habit, the purposeful rhythm of connecting together. If so, you'll pay the price eventually. A little bit of a side note, but this is why we don't offer live stream. Do you know we actually do offer live stream? It's being recorded. We record every service and we actually give it to those who are actually shut-ins that can't because of physical ways to be able to, we actually make it available for them, but we don't make it available to everybody. It's on our website because we feel like we need one another and we feel like it's really easy to get out of the habit of not meeting together when it's like, I'm kind of tired this morning. Maybe I'll just watch it online. That's not church because we need one another. And so it's interesting because I'm more like, pragmatic on our pastor team and like, well, at least people are getting it. Like, let's get it out there. And I really appreciate some of our other pastors. Like, no, we're going to hold our guns on this. We really believe this is important. This is important. The warning is don't neglect meeting together. Don't get in that habit. Fight for what's right and what is going to bless you. Pathway of community is a pathway we all need. And so the invitation, step into that river. Let it take us somewhere. It takes us to him. It takes us to becoming more like him. So let me appeal to us. What are some things that would maybe cause us to neglect meeting together, meeting one another, being in community together? Well, we've already talked about this one, busyness. You know, the culture is going to give us a lot of stuff to busy our time with. You know, we're faced with the same thing that people 2,000 years were faced with, 24 hours in a day. Hasn't changed. And so unless your goal is to do nothing, which I don't think any of our goal is, we're all going to have to make different commitments of, it's just more about like, what are we going to fill that 24-hour period with? It's really about priorities, not about being business. We're all going to be busy. The question is, what are we going to be busy doing? That's the question. Second one is, I would say, radical individualism. Radical individualism. This is the language of our culture. We're socially conditioned to make it about us, my needs, my preferences, my desires above all else. Right? That doesn't work in relationships. This makes community really hard because we must enter in thinking about how we can put others above ourselves, how we can meet others' needs, how we can sacrifice for others. But unfortunately, when we buy into radical individualism, we look at community as, what am I going to get out of this? And then we don't feel like we're getting out of it what we want out of it, and then we kind of go on and we try to find somewhere where we get more out of it for ourselves. Radical individualism. Third, I think, is valuing career over relationship. I think it's hard in the world that we live in. Obviously, jobs are important. Doing something you desire and that you're gifted at is actually really important. But is it more important than the people that you're going to do life with and do relationship with and people you're going to raise your kids with? I see living in Fort Collins, people becoming more and more transient. You know, people are just here for shorter and shorter seasons. I think this really makes building community hard when people are leaving and transitioning a lot. That's kind of our American way. It doesn't happen overseas. This is kind of a really American thing where people are very mobile. I think of when I was graduating, when I graduated from college, I went overseas for a year, lived in Hungary, and I came back, and actually one of my supporters hired me to work at his accounting company as to write code for. I was a computer information systems major, and he hired me not for my computer information skills. He actually hired me because he wanted his son to come to Christ, and his son worked at the company. He literally hired me for that. And so by God's grace, I mean, the story of his son is actually, his son is on staff with another church right now. It's a really cool story. That's for another time. But when I was there, the company shut down and it was consolidated to another company in Florida. And so we're in our first year of marriage. And so we took the trip out to Florida to be able to see like, all right, this is kind of a fun adventure and being able to do something new. And Susan and I kind of wrestled with that. But then we came to the place of like, our first year of marriage, we're getting plugged in here at Mountain View. Like, we need people. And so we decided not to go, mainly because of this church body. And boy, I am so thankful that we made that decision. And so I think, like, how do we think through not just what's the next business or the next career opportunity, what's going to be the best for our souls for the long term, for the long haul? The other one I'd say here is what caused us to neglect one another. And I don't know what to say, but flakiness, is that even a word? I spell checked it. It did come up okay. But it's just like not following through with commitments. And I think this is like a little bit of a product of our like digital world. It's harder and harder to actually plan out things with people. Have you noticed that? Because people don't want to make plans because there's always something that may come up that's a little better in the future. So people don't make plans anymore. And then when people do make plans, they're really quick to break them. And if they break them, they almost always do it with a text because you don't have to justify it. When you call up someone and say, hey, I can't meet you today, you're going to have a conversation. Well, what's going on? Like, but oftentimes in a text, it's like, hey, sorry, I can't make it today. Sorry. And it's done. We're kind of flaky. And I see that. Like, people don't stay committed to people very well. And so community takes actually being committed to one another. I think about this idea of not understanding that we're family. You know, that's one of my favorite words to address us, like church family. I love that. That's one of the words the New Testament gives us, the metaphor for who we are. There's something about a picture of what family is supposed to be. And, well, let me say a healthy family, because in a healthy family, when conflict happens, what do? In a healthy family, we stick it out. You figure out, because it's family. Like, we're gonna make this work. We're gonna understand, and we're gonna work through things, and we're gonna grow, and we're gonna have some good conversations. And yet, we often don't look at it as church family. So when something happens, and you get hurt by your church, they do something you don't like, or your life group, what do? We just go to the other church down the street, or you go find another group or whatever. You don't actually consider yourself family, work through, and you miss out on all that God wants to do in your own heart through that. By this last one, I think is really important, the lack of vulnerability. The lack of vulnerability. And this kills depth of relationship. It's shame. It's this desire we have to pretend and to put on a face. And again, this goes all the way back to the garden. Adam and Eve and their sin and their shame, what did? They hid from God. But then you see that when God approached them, what do? They started blaming each other. And so not only do many of us blame others for the lack of community they're experiencing rather than taking the responsibility and taking the initiative themselves, but many of us are tempted when we walk into relationships to pretend and to wear a mask and to act like we have it all together, Like we're afraid of being rejected. So we hide and we isolate and we keep a good distance from people. Like we'll get to know people from a maybe outside level, but we're going to keep people at arm's length. And that lack of vulnerability keeps us from truly being known by others and truly knowing others. Church, this is one of the greatest things about the gospel. It sets us free. It gives us our identity that we are loved perfectly by God and unconditionally. He meets us right where we're at. It's not dependent on me and allows us to be real and to be vulnerable with the Lord, not to hide from him, not to justify, not to blame shift, because he's done everything for us in Christ. But when we understand this is who we are in Christ, it gives us this confidence so we can actually step into relationships in that same identity and just be who we are. We're all a mess, aren't we? But we're beloved. Beloved by the King of the universe. Beloved by one another. We need to be vulnerable. Vulnerability is a huge part for us to experience community together. So church, let's be real. Let's be vulnerable. Let's pursue life with one another. Encourage one another. So church, don't neglect in meeting together. Don't get out of the habit of meeting together. Instead, let's encourage one another as long as it's called today. So here's my prayer for all of us as we head into this new year, that no matter where you're at in this upcoming year, that we would each take a few steps in this pathway of God's grace. Each take a few intentional steps, no matter where you're at, to experience in a deeper way what God has for us to experience community in the way that he's designed it. And I would add through some of the purposeful things that we do at Mountain View to help us to walk in community together. So let me submit a few things for you to consider. How to be still more, excel still more, being, excelling still more, intentional and proactive in community together. I would submit this. It starts with our Sunday gathering. Again, so much of who we are as a church is so much more than this Sunday gathering. But this Sunday gathering is an important way as we gather with God's people, the way that they've been doing it since the very beginning of redemptive history. And as we gather, right, this ain't a show. If you're looking for the best preaching, it's not here. You can go online and get a lot better preaching. Looking for the best worship, you can Spotify, a lot of great music out there. If you want the smoke and the lasers, that's not the place for you. But this is a place that we're committed to teach through God's word. And I've seen over time that as the word of God is preached verse by verse through all of God's word, not skipping over the hard things, it has a way of maturing people over time. It's not always the sexiest. It's not always the makes you feel the best. But over time, the full counsel of God's word matures us by people that are delivering it, who aren't delivering it to the world, but who are mindful and praying about this group of people. God, how does your word, your living and active word, going to impact this group of people? I've seen that make a difference to people over time. I've seen the difference of when we come and gather and worship, singing songs that are specifically, thoughtfully about the greatness of God and our response and our love for him. And how the singing of God's people blesses people every single week, man. There's people coming in here and they're having a hard time and a hard week and they're hearing someone declare truth next to them. Or they're choosing to sing and to put their mind on truth and the impact that has on their own soul. It's probably not a week that goes by that someone doesn't come to me and say, man, these people sing. It impacts me. The singing of God's people. Do you know what the most important instrument for our worship is? What do you think? Keys, guitar, like are you guys guitar people? Keys people? Like what do you think the most important instrument is? Yes, nothing is happening on stage. The most important instrument is out here. It's your voices declaring these great truths about God. I don't get when people sit here and they kind of just sit quiet and worship. I get maybe you're thinking and maybe you're taking those words in, but man, the chance to be with God's people and proclaim the greatness of who he is together. Expressing. Clapping. Wouldn't that be great if we clapped? There's something about God's people worshiping him together. The impact of celebrating the gospel week after week, if you're reminded of the goodness of the gospel through baptism, through communion, as we kind of every week want to focus on the goodness of the gospel. Joy and growth when we, as a family, serve one another. Like all these things happen on Sunday. So how can we be more intentional and purposeful with our corporate gathering? Well, a couple things. prioritize coming. Not legalistically, but because you need it and we need you. There's something that God's people corporately gathering that's important. And when you come with the expectation that God wants to meet you. That's why I love how Shane like encouraged us a couple weeks ago. I've been kind of taking it from him. I'm still from like, let's just stop and like before we get into God's word, let's recognize God wants to do something in my life today. So I'm going to pray and ask God to do that. Come with expectation that he actually wants to go. You don't come just out of ritual. Come expecting that God of the universe wants to meet with every single one of us to teach you, to encourage you, but also to use you. So you come prayerfully and you come expectantly, but Lord, here I am. Lord, come ready for God to use you as a body part. You don't come as a spectator on Sunday morning. You come as a body part gifted by God. And I don't care if you're serving in a different way or back in children's or you're just coming this morning. You are a body part that God wants to use. So use your body part to be able to bless God's people. So come early with expectation. Look for new people. Welcome them. Offer hospitality. Love them. Stay late. Connect with people. God's doing things in people's lives. Seek to enter in. And then sing loud. Sing loud. Be intentional with our corporate gathering, but also be intentional in, I would say, covenant membership. All membership is recognizing God's design that once we are saved, he brings us into a covenant community where we are committed to each other as family and we have each other's backs. We have each other's backs. When things go south in each other's lives, we got each other, right? We believe the church is not a place to attend, but a people we belong to. And the reason why we've actually started to do formal membership is we feel like it's so good, particularly in the world that we live in, for people to say, yes, I'm committing to this group of people. I'm in. I'm not going to be fickle. I'm not going to run around. This is the group of people that God's called me to be. I'm in. And it also gives us a chance as pastors and leaders to know these are the people who are in and we're going to prioritize and we're going to make sure this group of people are shepherded. Really good for both of us. Our membership at Mountain View requires taking that biblical distinctives class that Shane talked about. If you've not taken that, great place to start this spring, that 10-week class. If you want to learn more about membership, I think there's a website here. Go to that connect area, go to membership. Great little video there by Pastor Aaron. Encourage you, and you'll hear a lot more about our heart for membership. Thirdly, though, I'd say let's be intentional and proactive in life groups. And man, we have a lot of different ministries here at Mountain View you can plug into. And I'd argue that none of them is more important than life group. Life groups are just small groups that meet throughout the week. We say they're the backbone of Mountain View. It's so important. What I've seen over the years is the people who do not over time get involved in a life group do not last here at Mountain View. It's important because we need one another. Life group creates an environment where we can meet in smaller groups to better know each other, to better meet each other's needs, to be able to know what each other's needs are, to learn from each other, to spur one another on, to use our gifts to be able to bless one another and encourage each other towards Jesus. Most life groups meet 2 or 3, sometimes 4 times a month. Again, that's not doing life together, but one of the reasons we try to organize our life groups in proximity is so that we can have different connections throughout the week, not just when we're meeting, but throughout the week to be able to be part of each other's lives. It's a place to be known. It's a place to be vulnerable. So how can we be more intentional with life group this year? I'd say 1, get involved if you're not involved in 1. 2, if you are involved, be committed. Don't go once every couple months. Be committed to that group of people. Be willing to step into their lives and to be able to bear their burdens and to be able to share your burdens and like own community in that group. Provoke each other to love Jesus in a greater and greater way. Seek to use your gifts to be able to bless them. Now, when we're talking about community, and we'll do this quite often here at Mountain View, once or twice a year, we're going to have this little encouragement. Oftentimes with people, when we see God's design for community, I see people kind of growing more and more. Arms crossed. If your arms are crossed, I know yours is cold, don't worry. You know, you kind of get that, and it's almost like, yeah, that all sounds good. And why is anybody doing this for me? See, even that mentality is the problem. When each one of us as a body part actually are the ones who intentionally pursue it. And we're the ones pursuing people, and we're the ones pursuing closeness with others, and we're pursuing vulnerability, then God meets us all there. See, it really is about us, every individual taking the ownership for that. If you're looking at a place to start, like simply just start with hospitality. I don't care if you own a studio apartment, you live in a studio apartment or a dorm or a house or a 10-bedroom mansion. One of the things God calls us as his people is to be hospitable. So have people into your home, share a meal, open up your life. That's a great way, just an easy, easy way that we do on a regular basis that we connect with people. I know some of you, though, all this as we're talking about this morning, it sounds good, but you have hurt, and that hurt is real. It feels scary. I get it. But man, I'd hate for what someone has done to you in the past, what was wrong, to keep you from experiencing what God has for you today. Don't let someone rob you of that. Please don't let somebody rob you of that. Step out. God will meet you. Finally, this morning, I just want to talk about D groups. And this is probably one of the things I'm most excited for at Mountain View right now. Witnessing the people that are stepping into D groups are experiencing greater transformation in their lives. And they're just great ways. Like, as much as we love life groups, we also know that context and men and women together, and sometimes a lot of kids, sometimes hard to connect at a real deep level. And so D groups have been a way that oftentimes people in their life groups will meet with two or three guys, two or three ladies, and they get together and just begin to open up their lives and to be able to be accountable and to dig into one another's lives. We need this. Earlier in Hebrews, it says this, Hebrews chapter 3 says, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in you any evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." See, sin is deceitful. It blinds us. It hardens us. And therefore, man, if you don't have someone in your life that actually knows you well enough to know the areas that you struggle with and know the bents of your flesh, and someone that's not constantly pushing into that area out of love for you, I would just say you are being foolish. We all need that. I need that. I have two different D groups, maybe because that just gives you insight into my life, but I need it more than you. I get together with a group of pastors on a regular basis. I get together with another group of guys, and we simply just ask each other these five questions that we put together for you, and they're on the back. All in an acronym of GRACE. I'll put this up here. You can pick these up on your way out, and it's so good. We just ask each other these questions, and it's good. Some of you are funny, you know, because like, well, that seems really legalistic. I don't need questions. Cool. Don't use them. But I need them because I know I'm struggling in one of these areas. The temptation is I can talk about a lot of other things I'm doing well in, and I can avoid those areas I'm struggling in. So to know these questions are regularly being asked is a super big gift in my own heart. James commands us to confess our sin, not just to God, but what does James 5 say? To one another. We need that. D group helps us to live in the light. And church family, when you think about this pathway of community, given to us to experience true transformation in our lives. Like I know this personally. I can credit so much to who I am today because of so many of you over the years. Like my first year of marriage, when Susan and I are like, what in the world did we get ourselves into? Like we did not enjoy our first year of marriage, and there were people who stuck their spurs into us and really called me out on some things and called me out in some ways I was treating Susan. And by God's grace, we're not there. And by God's grace, we haven't just survived 30 years of marriage. We actually enjoy marriage. The 10 years that Susan really struggled with postpartum depression, you know, that's 10 long years. Many of you carried us during that time. You carried us. And even this like last season, just through kind of the season of life we're in, loss, change, like being able to learn from you about like in different phases of life and for some of you just crying with us through loss, like, really, really sweet. Like, this is what we're called to be together. We need each other. And if you're here this morning, you feel like, oh, I'm fine, I'm good, and, you know, I got my spouse, and, you know, we're good, and we have some friends. I don't really need this. I'll say there will be a day you're going to need this. The day is coming where you're going to go through hardship, where you're going to go through sickness, you're going to go through loss. And if you wait till that day to try to get plugged in a community, it's too late. Do it now. Surround yourself now. I don't care what season. I don't care if you've experienced this in the past. You're in a new season. We've got to experience it now. And so let us, church family, step into this lavish river of his grace to experience what he has for us. Let's all take a step, man. Take a step. If it's just you're coming here every once in a while, we'll start coming consistently. If you haven't taken distinctives, take a step. Take distinctives. You're not in a life group, step out into a life group. You're in a life group, be committed to your life group. You're committing to life group, get part, make a D group out of it. Part of a D group, make sure you're going deep together. Like, all take a step, and I trust that God will meet us to be able to help us to be all that he wants us to be. in this upcoming year. Amen. Will you pray with me? My God, we love you. And as I just kind of reflect upon all these different pathways you've given us, Lord, they're all good, Lord. We need them all. Thank you for just the grace that you've given us in these pathways, Lord. Help us to step into them. And as we think about community this morning, Lord, we lay our hearts before you. We know that there are things and there's barriers and there's fears and there's hurt and there's busyness and so many things that are pulling on us. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, help us to have your heart. Help us to do what you want us to do. Thank you that we don't have to muster up this power in of ourselves, Lord. Thank you for your spirit that's within us. And help us to step out and experience what you truly want us to experience with one another. Help us to see that it starts with each one of us, not somebody else, but with each one of us. And give us the grace to walk your design for your good and for your glory. We love you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.